Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia. And now, here to motivate, excite, and influence you, Charvette Mitchell.
Are you hanging out with us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, how you doing today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I am doing good. I am so delighted to have you on the show and be able to talk to you and spotlight you. Want to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Listeners, Dr. Hayward Hamilton is the senior pastor of Conquering Power Church of Deliverance. With a strong emphasis on prayer and deliverance, he continues to compel men and women to Christ through television, radio, and worship services all across the United States. And he has a new book coming out called I Say What He Says, and we're excited to hear more about that. So again, thank you so much for checking us out and coming into the virtual studio and hanging out with us. So I would like for you to share with our listeners a little bit more about you. How did your preaching ministry start?
Well, I began in 1997 under my father's tutelage, Bishop Howard R. Hamilton, Jr., and okay. I was just a musician. I played drums, and I was a choir director and admin and kind of did everything in the church as preacher's kids normally do. And,
okay.
I was attending LaSalle University in Philadelphia, PA. I was a second-year student, and during that time, I had some crucial challenges in my relationship and also concerning my studies and my academics. I was home for winter break, and I was in a terrible car accident, and my life kind of turned at that point. Went back home to Chester, PA, and served again under my father in his ministry, Holy Temple in Chester, and from that time forward, God began to speak to me and use me in other areas. I never claimed to be a person that was good at speech and good at vocality, but the Lord kind of turned some things as he did for Moses. And, you know, I never claimed to be a spokesman, but when he turned those things around in my life, he used me as a catalyst to kind of minister. And God, through my father, saw the need for the ministry to come forth. But he always said, as the old troublemaker said, if this wasn't God, you know, I'll see him coming back again. So we thank God that after 14 years, the fire's still burning.
Yes, and certainly you are a phenomenal preacher, I mean powerful deliverance preacher. And listeners, I have had the opportunity to hear Dr. Hayward live, so definitely powerful. And a young man, but so much wisdom, you know, in you. You have so much in you. So what drives your passion for ministry?
Well, I know I've been brought up in the old way. My father is, of course, 79 years old, and my mother, 18 years younger, but they kind of catapulted me into a genre of obviously heaven or hell. Conviction is the driving force for true holiness and salvation. But as I begin to grow, you know, in my life and seeing the generation that we have to minister to today, the Bible never changes and His Word never changes. However, our method, it must change. Because I think my passion now is counsel and true deliverance, which escorts the people into a God consciousness, which means they're not so much afraid of hell, but they want to go to heaven. It's about going to heaven and loving God, not about going to hell and being condemned. And I think, you know, conviction is meaningless without conversion. Mm-hmm. And even in Mark 5, it speaks about the young man that was possessed with demons in the Gadareans. And he was in the mountains, and after the Lord himself cast the demons out of him into the swine, the man was then found again clothed and in his right mind. And we know that that's a general saying that the church uses all the time, I've been clothed and in my right mind, meaning that not only was there a deliverance in his mindset mentally, but there was also a deliverance in his physicality. And a lot of times we always target the physical man as being delivered and changed, when really, in essence, that's not the true sign of deliverance. It starts from the spirit, then mental, emotional, physical, then social, because at that point, the man wanted to continue to follow Christ into the towns he was going to heal, but Christ said no. You now must go back to where you come from and share the same message with others. And a lot of times we always target the people's looks and how they dress and what they wear and their tongue rings and their baggy jeans, but we don't save their souls. So I'm more, my passion for ministry is there is a such thing as true deliverance and being free and be not entangled again, but we have to counsel the total being of the person so that they will not just be scared of the repercussions of their sin, but they will love God more and more in a pure way.
Wow. And do you find that the people that you're pastoring, do you find that people are accepting of, you know, of this, or do you feel like they are any struggles because, you know, they've either been to church before and they're like, you know, we did it this way, and if I look the right way, I'm okay? Or do
wonderful.
You find that it's, yeah.
That's a wonderful, wonderful question, Charvette. I want to say again, I didn't say it at the beginning, but thank you for this opportunity. But, it's a very, our church is a very youthful church with an older fragrance because we have a lot of young people that have either older parents that raised them in church like the old way, and we have other ministries that are functioning in our church led by young people that may not be as churched as the rest of us have been. But we're getting struggles more from the standpoint of our praise level, because people are a lot on YouTube and they hear about us, Conquering Power. All they do is dance and they shout and they rejoice, but they don't know the in-depth teaching and the word and the impartation that we're getting to cause us to rejoice. And we don't just do it because it's advantageous for us to get a good workout on Sunday and Thursday. We do it because there is a liberating word that's really canceling out all excuses from generational curses and from inerrant teachings and from error in our past when we use colloquialisms that we didn't understand, that our forefathers taught us that they didn't dig deep and study, you know. And I'm from the old school, so I gravitate to everything from the old school, but I like to study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a worker that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. That brings liberation and freedom. That's why I let them praise God and let them rejoice, because what they're getting is authentic.
All right. And if anyone took the time to listen to you clearly and hear you deliver the word of God, they would clearly know that you are very solid in your foundation biblically. So all they have to do is just give you one opportunity, and they wouldn't say, oh, no, they just shouting and bucking. They wouldn't say that. Listeners, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the World Wide Web. Big shout-out to those that are hanging out on the phone lines, those that are hanging out in the chat room. We say hello, and you are listening to Dr. Heywood Hamilton, Senior Pastor of Conquering Power Church of Deliverance out of Philadelphia, PA. So certainly, big shout out to my Philly listeners. We're glad to have you tuning in and listening. All right, so let's talk about your upcoming book release. Now, I got to start with, what prompted you to even write a book?
Well, for a few years, many years actually, I've been always inspired to write a book or a prose of some sort. Not really something that's like nonfictional or storytelling, but more of instructional. And just literal, words of wisdom and knowledge. I'm interested in communicative continuity because we always use, you know, some symbolisms of old that we don't really understand, and we repeat things that we don't really have defined understanding about what they mean. So I always had an interest in echoing things that are relevant and echoing things that can be applicable to not just church people, but people of all races, creeds, and also nationalities, and even in different forms of business. So you know, I'm very big on literation, and I always wanted to write a book. Yeah. always.
Oh, okay. Great. So the title of the book, I Say What He Says. Now, how did you come up with that? And that is profound in and of itself. I mean, the title alone should sell 10 million copies.
Oh, I receive it. I receive that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I receive it. Well, once you see the book, you will see that it has about 11 chapters, all of which are broken down into chapters like, for instance, wisdom, relationships, purpose and identity, church and the kingdom. And I give commentary to express what those things symbolize in our now world. And at the end of every chapter, there are 40 or more quotes, or I call them echoes, because
okay.
I did not know, but my people are very, very attentive to the point that they record everything. So they was writing down everything I've been saying since I began my church in 2007 in January. And this actual book, it's a volume one, and it spans from the first 2 years of our ministry, 2007, 2008, or 2009, rather, and it shows all of the quotes and the echoes that during my preaching I said, and I couldn't tell you what I said after I was finished, but they
right.
could tell me what I said. So they said, you said this, it was powerful. I said, what? I don't remember that. So a lot of times when we're in the flow of the Holy Spirit, he began to speak to his people expressly through us. And it gives great honor when your people can duplicate or give back to you what you give to them. So
yeah.
basically, as much as this is something that was birthed out of me, my church, and some of the major components of why I wrote this book is credited to my church, because they're very well listening and tuned in, and they give it back to me. So I'm actually going to be taking the time and when I read the book after I was finished writing, I was blessed again, because I didn't see or didn't realize the worth and the wealth of power that these words were given. I give all glory to God because he said those things, but I was so filled by reading it
yeah.
myself when I was doing it after at the end. So.
And I hear a lot of authors say that. I hear a lot of artists say that once they put pen to paper and they go back and their
read,
own work
yes.
ministers to them.
It blesses them. Yes, it does.
Yes. My goodness, my goodness. Okay, so you have an upcoming book release event. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, Philadelphia and Virginia and New Jersey and everybody, just tell your friends and family. You can log on right now to hrhministries.eventbrite, E-V-E-N-T-B-R-I-T-E, not B-R-I-G-H-T, B-R-I-T-E.com. And that's going to be March the 12th. And little plug, I turned 32 on that day as well. So it's going to be my birthday celebration and my first book release all on the same day.
Awesome.
So you can go to that. Yeah, you go to that website and log in. The tickets are $40. It's going to be at Hibachi's Bar and Grill on Penn's Landing, Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. We have special guest T.Y.'s, the gospel rap artist. We have Mandel Copeland and friends from Salisbury, Maryland, T. Parker from New York. He's one of my sons that goes to my church. And Desi will be hosting. So Desi,
oh, cool. And she's a radio
yeah.
personality. Big
yes,
shout out to her.
Yes,
listen, I'm getting
that.
Questions from the chat room, Dr. Hamilton.
Okay,
okay well,
right.
One person says, so young, but yet such wisdom. So that's a shout out to you. How
you.
Can they purchase the book? How will they be able to purchase the book? And someone said, is the book
well,
going to be on Kindle?
Well, I crossed my fingers hoping that I would not have to say this, but on the same night, my website will be launched as well. So it's a trifold thing. It's going to be my birthday, my book release, and my website. And to answer the question, the book will be available on the website at that night when I release my book, and it will be on Kindle. And once we release it that day, more information
uh-huh.
will be emailed. But we will have it in all
right.
stores. It'll be on Amazon.com. And we'll have it in all major bookstores. So once that night comes, we'll have more information for you.
Great. And they can connect with you on Facebook, and so that way they can keep up with everything that's going on with you, right?
Exactly. But I also want to point this out, too, and hopefully there's no confusion, that when you pay the $40, not only do you get entry into Hibachi's, but you get the actual buffet, You get dessert, all the drinks, everything of that nature. Of course, non-alcoholic, praise the Lord.
Right.
You get, of course, the entertainment for the night, and you get a signed copy of the book. So you get all of that for the $40. The book is going to be actually priced at $15.95. So that would be the sale of the book. But for the $40, you get everything that includes that night for the 12th.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. And one other comment from the chat room, they said, is there a favorite quote, or you said echo, that touched you from the book?
Woo! Gracious God.
So
whoever
many.
Says that, they're great, because that there are just so many. I guess I will say, from our relationship, and actually this is another little announcement, we're having a relationship, love, a literacy of love that I'm doing on this Saturday. Yes, and I'm going to be having couples and singles and married people all coming together, and we're going to just chat about relationships and love. And I don't have too many of them that I can say verbatim, but there are many major things that are going to be released that night. I want to keep it to myself. But that night, it's going to be on Facebook. I'm going to actually have the quotes up on Facebook after I get finished, because I'm reading an excerpt of my book that night. So I wanted to be kind of fresh. Yeah, so actually my favorite ones are kind of couched in that specific chapter, but I don't want to spoil the moment. So for that person that typed in, just stay tuned for about another 3 or 4 days. And once I get that passed on Saturday, from 12 to 3, I'll have them up on my Facebook page.
All right. Great, great, great. Thank you so much. Again, listeners, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're checking out Dr. Haywood Hamilton. And what is so cool, my next guest, who should be hanging out in the virtual studio with us, my next guest is Pastor Hazel Marie Mack, who happens to be, we couldn't have planned this any better, who happens to be your mother-in-law.
She's the greatest.
She is the greatest. Listen, can you hang out with us a little bit longer?
Sure.
Okay, great. Hang out right there. Listeners, we're going to be right back. We're going to go to the virtual studio, bring on our next guest, and we'll be back with the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this. Join us for the 411 Buzz, covering artist news and entertainment with MZ Day. Your voice, your story. On industrybuzz.com. That's Buzz with 3Z. She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back, listeners. This is your girl, Charvette Mitchell. Listen, we're going to the virtual studio because my next guest, she's dynamic, and I'm checking in. Hopefully, she enjoyed some of the virtual fried chicken and virtual potato salad that was in the virtual green room while she was hanging out. Pastor Hazel Marie Mack, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for your patience. I appreciate that. And listen, I want to tell our listeners a little bit more about you. You are the pastor of New Bethany Holiness Church. You also serve as the Secretary General and President of the Ordination Committee for the Great Bethany Fellowship of Churches. You're married to Mr. Melvin Mack, the proud mother of two lovely daughters, junior missionary Tiffany Mack, and, of course, Lady Tamara Hamilton, the wife of our guest who's hanging out in the studio, listeners you just heard from, Dr. Hamilton. And, of course, we can't leave out the lovely, the wonderful Prince Hayden. He is something else. So thank you again so much for joining the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, Pastor Mack.
God bless.
All right. So let's start with how you started in ministry. This is kind of like a spotlight, and I'm so glad to have you, and we can talk to the ladies. So how did you start in ministry?
Well, unlike majority of people, I'm not a PK kid, but since my family, I've grown up in ministry, starting with my grandparents. I'm the fifth generation preacher coming up in ministry. So how I started in ministry, I started as a devotional leader, which they don't even say that anymore. They call it a praise team leader, ushering and singing on the choir and the little things you grow up in church starting to do. Preaching didn't come until a little later on in my life. when one day my grandmother pulled me in and said I couldn't play anymore. I had to set myself aside and begin to get in my word and read and study and pray for the next level that God would usher me into. That garnered me to become a missionary for quite a few years, and I loved doing that. And then, as you know, because my family are the preachers, go down the line from my grandparents to my aunts, and now my bishop, who is my aunt as well, after the passing of Overseer Beatrice Key, when Bishop became pastor, she said the Lord had a need of me to come even closer. That switched my life into a whole nother arena, which is preaching, you know, and I went through all kinds of titles. And now here I am as the pastor of New Bethany Holiness Church.
Wow. And so I'm sure you have learned a lot of things and seen a lot of things along the way. What would you say are some things that you know now that you wish you knew in the beginning of pastoring?
Well, the first thing is, I'm quite sure in the years that I have been pastoring, this is not something you volunteer for. I'm quite sure God don't draft you to that. It's not probably one of the most popular things you would want to be. Now, that's for those that are really sincere about that walk. People looking on the outside that see pastoring, it looks like a very glamorous position. It looks like a very prestigious, and it has honor, as honor can be. But certainly there's a behind the scene that comes with pastoring that people have no idea. And unless you become a pastor and have to deal with everyday people and all walks of life and all cultures and things of that nature, you have no idea what that
is.
Your life totally changes when you become a pastor. You are no longer private. You are always on display. And it's a costly place. If you are really sincere with God, it really costs you something. You pay a price. And it's not a bad thing, but it's just the reality that if you are real with God, it becomes, you know, a costly situation. You find out that people will rather be familiar than respectful to you. People that will say things and do things in the 21st century church that growing up, when I was growing up as a young teenager, as a young upstart, you would have never thought or it was unheard of to say. But in the 21st century church, it's a lot of liberation, but we have to take it back to some of the old, you know, and I'm definitely old school. But, I've adapted to the in-between, so I'm not – you know, all the way to 21st century and all the old, I'm in the between, because I learned when you have people in the church, you have to adapt and you have to confront with, you know, what the present day is. But in all of that, still, holiness has an honor.
All right, listeners, you are listening to Pastor Hazel Mack. Some good, solid advice there, especially those that are aspiring to be pastors and the like. All right, so women, let's speak directly to women in ministry. There are a lot of women that are in ministry, and I think women in ministry may have, I won't say different challenges, but maybe need to come at things a different way, perhaps. What advice do you give to other women in ministry?
Well, first I would say to women to make sure that you stay a lady and never let your standards down. Keep your praise, because you certainly going to need that. Because when you can't talk and when you can't say nothing, a praise will get you through. I'm a living witness.
Yes,
be an individual. Have your own identity. What defines you from any other person? Mine's is a praise.
All
be
right.
careful of who you let get close to you as a female, because it is very important that during your vulnerable times or during your down times that you have people around you that you can trust that are there to build you back up in those tough times. Keep your ear to the mouth of God, that as when you can't get no relief or you can't get nothing else, God will be speaking to you directly, because sometimes we can get caught up with listening to other people instead of listening at God. And the fact is, we put our ears to God and let him speak to us thoroughly, and make sure that there's somebody that you can truly trust, that when it really gets tough, you can vent to, you can empty out, so that you can be fresh and given your word. Because what you never want to do is use God's holy pulpit to vent, to give out negative information. You want to always be able to go to somebody that you can get rid of that and be able to handle God's people properly.
Oh, OMG. That's a whole show by itself. Venting across the pulpit, and we getting amens all in the chat room. They're like, amen, amen. And you know, I don't want to say this, but I feel like, I think women may do that more than men. Men do it too, but I kind of, do you think, what do you think? I might be way off, but do you think women tend to do the venting across the pulpit more than men do?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I do. Because sometimes I think because we are emotional beings, sometimes
mm-hmm.
when, you know, when it's really in our face, sometimes it's difficult for us to channel it or to conceal it, where sometimes men can. Now, there is some men that really fall in that category as well. But I've made a conscious choice that I don't use God's pulpit for any kind of that stuff. I ask the Lord, because if it's a Sunday where I feel like it, then I'll have to put somebody else up or have to do something else, because you don't ever want anybody to go away from the Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whatever night damaged because of
right.
how you felt. And it didn't necessarily have to do with a particular person in the ministry. So we always want to watch that.
All right. That's good. Good advice. Good advice there. And so certainly want you to shout out your church and tell us a little bit about your church and if you have any upcoming events.
Sure. My church is New Bethany Holiness Church. It's at 3445 Germantown Avenue in the heart of North Philadelphia. We are a church that everybody is somebody. Jesus is Lord, and our signature is praise. Just like my son, Overseer Hamilton, if you're looking for a show enough praise, if you want to be in God's presence and you want a sound word, stop by 3445 Germantown Avenue and get your praise on. Sunday just passed was Sweetheart Sunday for us, and we certainly did everything we could to try to celebrate and salute that type of day so that my young people, because that is a day that is so damaging in the world today,
yeah.
that people use Valentine's Day and they've gotten hurt and all kinds of stuff. And I taught my people, you don't have to settle. You don't have to, for a candy bar, you don't have to settle. So I celebrated them myself. So if they didn't get nothing, they got it on Sunday. So it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful afternoon that we shared at church. Yes.
Did you say don't settle for a candy bar?
Don't settle for a candy bar.
We're settling for candy bars now.
Okay. Okay. And let me tell you something. Young people are driven by whatever. And candy bars can cause them to lose their candy. And that's not what I want.
Right.
Because I teach my ladies. In my
yes.
ministry, as well as my men, because if you don't know, the men, the young boys are getting attacked or, you know, going through
yeah.
changes as much as girls. It used to be just girls, but nowadays, you know what I mean, you have to watch them both. So I gave them candy. I gave them flowers. I gave them
yes.
teddy bears so that if they don't get nothing or they don't have nobody, they don't have to try to get nobody for one day.
All right. That's good wisdom. That's good wisdom there. All right. So I am just tickled pink to have an opportunity to spotlight you, kind of a preacher spotlight, sister girlfriend spotlight, all of that wrapped into one. Listeners, you are listening to Pastor Hazel Marie Mack. And listen, I have Dr. Hamilton. He's still hanging out in the virtual studio. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. I'm going to have you both on air, and this is unprompted. I'm going to have you all both on air, and we're just going to talk about some current events in the news. You up for that?
Yes.
All right, great. Hang out right there, listeners. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be back in just a moment with both Pastor Hazel Mack and also Dr. Haywood Hamilton. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected, would you feel scared, proud, relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-7777. 8580. I go to peacecorps.gov.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is your girl, Charvette Mitchell. And listen, we are hanging out in the virtual studio. I have on at the mic right now Pastor Hazel Mack and also Dr. Haywood Hamilton. Y'all hanging out with me?
Yes.
Praise God. Yes.
All right. Great, great, great. So I'm going to ask you some questions. I know it may be just off the cuff, and I just want to get you all's opinions on them, some things either I've seen on Facebook or what have you. So we're going to start since we're in the week of love, and we do a lot of relationship shows, and they're like the highest listened to shows. So evidently people want advice on relationships and love and all of that. So this is the question that I have for both of you. We get this question a lot. Do you think saved Christians should date non-saved people?
Ladies first.
So Pastor Mac, you on the hot seat first. We get this question all the time.
Well, if you hear it in the Bible, it is said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I will have to say that I wouldn't condone it, but I did it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I would never say that, you know, that it doesn't happen, because sometimes you end up going that route because of circumstances that happen in your life, because of a situation or whatever the case may be. But biblically sound, and that's what I teach. You know, that is not how it's supposed to be, you know. But again, I would, I don't want nobody to say, well, you know, I know her story. So
right.
Let me just put it out there. You know, I did date an unsaved man. Matter of fact, I'm married to him.
All right.
Okay.
And still anointed and still got a prospering
ministry. And the fact that my lifestyle has conditioned to him, like, I don't, you know, because he knows my life, he knows who I'm about, so that has not hindered, you know what I'm saying, my life and stuff is. So is that impossible? No, because the Bible said a sanctified wife will sanctify the husband. So there are times that, you know what I mean, you get into those predicaments and stuff, but that is not the end all. Your life is not over. But to actually try to do that, it's hard. Let me just put that out there. It's a hard life to lead.
All right. Woo. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Dr. Hamilton, what do you have to say?
Well, good evening, Pastor Mac. That's a great question. And Pastor has basically put the word out of being not unequally yoked. And unbelievers, even in step with that word, includes people who are in the church, because there are some persons who are in the church that are not believers. So even when it comes to linking up with people dating in the church, that goes to them. But I want to also add this, that I think back to, and we've been hearing this tonight, going back to the foundation in the old way, courting and courtship has lost its value.
Yes.
And now we're not really courting for the right purposes, and we don't have people over us to kind of guide us in courtship, so we can't really discern who's a believer and who is not. Mm-hmm. So I believe, I would say, ooh, of course, we cannot do that, but I think I need to put pressure on both leaders and people who are in the church teaching dating so that people are not dating with expectations and courting with expectations outside of godly expectations. And I think that's what has been lost in the church.
Wow. And Davina from the chat room said, cannot a saved person lead an unsaved person to God?
Well, the only way, and back to, and I'll jump in and Pastor can take it.
That's okay.
As Pastor Max said, the believing or the saved wife can save the husband. It never said that the believing girlfriend can save the believing boyfriend. So the power, and I'm not saying it will never happen, but the power is only released if you're married. So you know, you're taking a risk if you are a saved girlfriend and you have a man which God has coined to be the head of the household. So if the man is a driving force and the woman is saved, which is in his eyes not the weakest vessel but the weaker vessel, then it's going to be kind of hard for that woman to convince that unsaved man who is not married to her to be saved.
And I'm going to add as well
that in my
walk and in my dealings with counseling and young people, it is very difficult because most people are not as strong as me.
and that's because
of the solid foundation because of the boundaries and limitations that I've set. It is very hard, and I have had to counsel and talk to young people. It is very difficult for that to happen because it is okay when you like per people.
Uh-huh.
But what happens is that most of the time they don't see the bigger picture. If God moves you in ministry, if God elevates you, and he expects you to still be Little Miss Susie, and when you get elevated and your time is being taken away from him and all of that, it's going to present a problem down the line.
That's a very difficult place. All right. And the chat room is saying, teach. Okay, so we also hear people say, well, and I'm going to say the Christian ladies, where are the Christian men for me to date? Why aren't there more men in church? And this is probably a twofold. That probably could be answered a couple ways, but we hear that a lot. So, Dr. Hamilton, you want to jump in on that?
Absolutely.
Where are the Christian men?
Sure, I'll definitely jump in. Well, this obviously we cannot address this without scaving off the layers of what the attack is now. And the obvious is the attack on our young men and our men is homosexuality. And I know that that's like not just the only thing, is sexual promiscuity and the like, but one of the major things and the complaints that I hear from counsel and from people in the ministries, that even the one I pastor, are not knowing what a person is before you intertwine with them. And I think it's more of lack of discernment and lack of integrity in dating. You will find and you will attract what you are. And I say it again with a lot of boundaries. You will sometime attract what you are, meaning a lot of the times when you come into church, a lot of the females, they're looking for a certain type of man. And when that man is not spotted in church, then whatever is presented to them, they embrace. And by comparison, you will say that a church man does not have, and I'm just going to be real, the protective thug kind of got money persona. And normally the young ladies of our day, they affect and they attract more to the musician, the keyboardist, the organist, and the drummer. And that can sometimes become stereotypical too. But I will say, where are the saved men? The saved men are where they're supposed to be. They're in church, and they are also trying to become the men of God that they need to be. But I think they are being stereotyped by what is now ruling in our churches and in the kingdom, and that is the man is being attacked with his identity. And because the man has not fully stepped into his place in the church and in the kingdom and the world, it's now looking like we have lost our battle. And now the women are kind of scared to embrace the man in the church. But they're there.
Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to say. Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody posted on Facebook, great program. What great nuggets of wisdom by the guests. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right.
I also want to just add just a little bit to that because my son has just took it and ran with it. So I'm just going to add a little spin. Also, I think because we the women have had to be thrust into areas of protectivity of our own, to work on our own. A lot of women have careers. And so what we, as Overseer said, some of what we would look for, if gentlemen don't have nowhere near us, don't seem to have it together, don't seem to want nothing out of life, and I have, you know, pursued my career, I have my own car, I have my own house, et cetera. There are many a times where the church men sometimes appears to be weak. They appear that they don't have it together. Sometimes they appear that, you know what I mean, they might be scared to approach us because of, you know, what they know about us as far as, you know, how we are. A lot of strong black women, some young men are intimidated by, you know, the strength of who we are. So sometimes those are barriers that negate men from even approaching us or even address us. I do believe there is some identity crisis, but I also believe, because the Bible says, he that findeth, sometimes I think we want that one to look at us instead of waiting to see who God really wants to send our way. Because even though sometimes we say what we want, God, I always ask God to be in his will. And when we get out of his will, sometimes that's where the different changes come in our lives.
And so what do you say to that Christian woman who is in that situation that you just said, has, you know, everything going on and may appear intimidating to, and it doesn't even have to actually be a Christian guy, any kind of guy. Does she downplay herself? Does she do to not appear as intimidating?
No, I tell her, go for it. Be strong, girl. Because the fact of the matter is, I believe that God will give her the type of gentleman that will be suitable to who she is. I don't think women, you know, because when you've worked hard and you've struggled to become whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think, I do believe that women know, can know how to be and not to be, you know what I mean,
right,
in the dominance. But I don't think that she should just erase everything she does to get a man or to just say, you know, let me do this so he don't be intimidated by me. No, I think she ought to continue to keep herself together. I think her conversation ought to still be up above board, being intellectual and intelligent. You know what I mean? I think she should still keep herself in that focus and believe that that man that God has for her will come her way.
Yes.
I agree.
Right.
Can I win,
you agree,
Charlotte?
Dr. Hamilton?
Yeah, absolutely. She feels something, and it's getting very exciting. That I concur, because any true man of God respects a strong woman, and they don't give respect to women who are light in their personality and don't have many strong values. I also want to consider something in the Bible, and I won't be long. In Adam and Eve, concerning Adam, the man is more about approach, the woman is more about posture. And Adam and Eve are in the garden, thrust in the garden. The snake is able, now Adam knew Eve, which we know that means a sexual encounter or they came together intimately. But the Bible said that when he wasn't in his right position and his approach was off, he wasn't visiting Christ or God, rather, at the cool of the day as he normally would. He lost fellowship. Then a snake, a serpent, had conversation. And the conversation alone, without any touch, without anything that involved sexuality, caused that woman to respond.
Yes.
And a lot of times we feel as men, because we are approaching, that because of our prowess that we gain an advantage on a weak woman. But really, if a woman is who she really is, a real woman loves conversation that's meaningful. So because of the meaningful conversation, though it was not the right conversation from the serpent, it got the attention of the woman, and she was compelled to be confused about what the man was supposed to have as right to be said. So now God's, all of his acknowledgments to Adam were confused because he lost his position, because he knew Eve, but he didn't talk to her enough. So I also believe that that's one byproduct of why women should keep their expectations high, because when they have their own job and they have their own credit and they have their own, you know, careers, they force the man to not just be a big, buff, a strong man, but they force him to have some kind of communicative capabilities to be able to talk, because the husband should be the first partaker of the fruit. So if the man can't talk, then the family is in danger.
Oh, my goodness. Listeners, Dr. Hayward Hamilton, and clearly we see why you have a relationship seminar coming up. Give us that information one more time.
Yes, it's called the Literacy of Love. It's going to be here at my church, 1041 North Buttonwood Street, right here in the heart of Philadelphia, PA. And we're going to have a open brunch from 12 to 3. We're going to be talking. We're going to have fun games and interaction. I'm reading excerpt from my relationship chapter of my book. So please come. It's $10 cover charge to get here, but the rest is on us.
All right. Again, listeners, Dr. Hayward Hamilton, his upcoming, highly anticipated book release coming in March, I Say What He Says. Keep your eye locked on him. I know those in the chat room, they're like, can we talk about self-esteem? Can we talk about this? Look, I have 1 minute left on the show. I might just have to bring y'all back, and we're going to have to gather all the topics. Thank y'all. Y'all just flow with me today, and I appreciate that. And again, Pastor Hazel, yeah. Mac, big shout out. Anybody you want to shout out from your church, or anybody you want to give a shout out to?
I give a shout out to my bishop, Bishop Sylvia J. Britton. Yes. Certainly to both of my children, Lady Tamara Hamilton and Missionary Tiffany Mack, and to my wonderful husband, Mr. Melvin Mack.
All right. There you go. And again, listeners, thank you so much. Those that are hanging out on the phone lines, those that are in the chat room, we will keep up with you. Just watch my page. I'll post everything that we know about. They're asking, can we purchase DVDs? Can we purchase CDs? Look, we're going to have all of that coming for you again. And I personally, listeners, I want to say, I personally know my guest today, and I'm just delighted that I had a chance to spotlight you guys and just hang out and just talk and give away this good wisdom, because the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and that's what I hope we do every single week. And so we are out of time. Listeners, keep it locked here. You want to keep up with me at Charvette.com, and you want to also follow me on Twitter, Twitter.com/Charvette, and, of course, Facebook.com/Charvette. Again, thank you so much, Pastor Mac and Dr. Hamilton.
Love you.
Love you.
All right, love you too. All right, listeners. That's going to be a wrap. We'll see you next week.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you've been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Catch Charvette Mitchell every Tuesday at 6 p.m. interviewing all the stars you want to hear from. So until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. This is the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.